The Rider and the Motorcycle. Motorcycling is a unique experience. Compared to a car, you don't sit in a motorcycle, you become part of it. Not as a passive driver, but as an active rider arcing into a string of smooth corners, playing along with the rhythm of the road, shifting, accelerating, and braking with precision. Whether you ride to and from work or prefer the camaraderie of a group ride on the weekends, motorcycling engages all your senses and creates an invigorating sense of freedom. Along with that freedom comes responsibility. All states require some form of license endorsement demonstrating you possess a minimum level of skill and knowledge. This booklet and other motorcycle publications can help you to be successful. You might also consider taking a formal hands-on training course, even if your state doesn't require that you complete one. You'll learn how to improve your riding skills and mental strategies so you can be a safer, more alert rider. The diagram above illustrates the complex environment that awaits you and supports the concept that, as the Motorcycle Safety Foundation says, safe riding depends as much on the mental skills of awareness and judgment as it does on a physical skill of maneuvering the machine. Picture on page 1, riding environment. Rearview mirror. Oncoming traffic. Directional signs. Surface hazard. Merging traffic. Bicyclist. Traffic lights. Cross traffic. Crosswalk. Rearview mirror. Continuing with the text. Successfully piloting a motorcycle is a much more involved task than driving a car. Motorcycling requires a fine sense of balance and a heightened sense of awareness and position amidst other roadway users. A motorcycle responds more quickly to rider inputs than a car, but is also more sensitive to outside forces like irregular road surfaces or crosswinds. A motorcycle is also less visible than a car due to its narrower profile and offers far less protection by exposing its rider to other traffic and the elements. All these risks can be managed through study, training, and practice. Preparing to ride. What you do before you start a trip goes a long way toward determining whether or not you'll get where you want to go safely. Before taking off on any trip, a safe rider makes a point to 1. Wear the right gear. 2. Become familiar with the motorcycle. 3. Check the motorcycle equipment. 4. Be a responsible rider. Wear the right gear. When you ride, your gear is right if it protects you. In any crash, you have a far better chance of avoiding serious injury if you wear a DOT-compliant helmet, face or eye protection, protective clothing. Helmet use. Crashes can occur, particularly among untrained beginning riders, and 1 out of every 5 motorcycle crashes results in head or neck injuries. Head injuries are just as severe as neck injuries and far more common. Crash analyses show that head and neck injuries account for a majority of serious and fatal injuries to motorcyclists. Research also shows that, with few exceptions, head and neck injuries are reduced by properly wearing a quality helmet. Some riders don't wear helmets because they think helmets will limit their view to the sides. Others wear helmets only on long trips or when riding at high speeds. But here are some facts to consider. A DOT-compliant helmet lets you see as far to the sides as necessary. A study of more than 900 motorcycle crashes, where 40% of the riders wore helmets, did not find even one case in which a helmet kept a rider from spotting danger. Most crashes happen on short trips, less than 5 miles long, just a few minutes after starting out. Most riders are riding slower than 30 mph when a crash occurs. At these speeds, helmets can cut both the number and the severity of head injuries by half. No matter what the speed, helmeted riders are 3 times more likely to survive head injuries than those not wearing helmets at the time of the crash. The single most important thing you can do to improve your chances of surviving a crash is to wear a securely fastened, quality helmet. Helmet selection. There are two primary types of helmets, providing two different levels of coverage, three-quarter and full face. Whichever style you choose, you can get the most protection by making sure that the helmet is designed to meet U.S. Department of Transportation, DOT, and state standards. Helmets with a label from the Snell Memorial Foundation also give you an assurance of quality. Fits snugly all the way around. Has no obvious defects, such as cracks, loose padding, or frayed straps. Whatever helmet you decide on, keep it securely fastened on your head when you ride. Otherwise, if you are involved in a crash, it's likely to fly off your head before it gets a chance to protect you. Picture on page 2, helmets. Three-quarter or open face. Full face. Continuing with the text. Eye and face protection. A plastic impact-resistant face shield can help protect your whole face in a crash. It also protects you from wind, dust, dirt, rain, insects, and pebbles thrown up from cars ahead. These problems are distracting and can be painful. If you have to deal with them, you can't devote your full attention to the road. Goggles protect your eyes, though they won't protect the rest of your face like a face shield does. A windshield is not a substitute for a face shield or goggles. Most windshields will not protect your eyes from the wind. Neither will eyeglasses or sunglasses. Glasses won't keep your eyes from watering, and they might blow off when you turn your head while riding. To be effective, eye or face shield protection must be free of scratches, be resistant to penetration, give a clear view to either side, fasten securely so it does not blow off, permit air to pass through to reduce fogging, permit enough room for eyeglasses or sunglasses if needed. Tinted eye protection should not be worn when little light is available. Clothing. The right clothing protects you in a collision. It also provides comfort as well as protection from heat, cold, debris, and hot and moving parts of the motorcycle. It can also make you more visible to others. Jacket and pants should cover arms and legs completely. They should fit snugly enough to keep from flapping in the wind, yet loosely enough to move freely. Leather offers the most protection. Sturdy synthetic material provides a lot of protection as well. Wear a jacket, even in warm weather, to prevent dehydration. Many are designed to protect without getting you overheated, even on summer days. Some riders choose jackets and pants with rigid body armor inserts in critical areas for additional protection. Boots or shoes should be high and sturdy enough to cover your ankles and give them support. Soles should be made of hard, durable, slip-resistant material. Keep heels short so they do not catch on rough surfaces. Tuck in laces so they won't catch on your motorcycle. Gloves allow a better grip and help protect your hands in a crash. Your gloves should be made of leather or similar durable material. Hearing protection reduces noise while allowing you to hear important sounds such as car horns or sirens. Long-term exposure to engine and wind noise can cause permanent hearing damage even if you wear a full-face helmet. Whether you choose disposable foam plugs or reusable custom-molded devices, be sure you adhere to state laws regarding hearing protection. In cold or wet weather, your clothes should keep you warm and dry as well as protect you from injury. You cannot control a motorcycle well if you are numb. Riding for long periods in cold weather can cause severe chill and fatigue. A winter jacket should resist wind and fit snugly at the neck, wrists, and waist. Good quality rain suits designed for motorcycle riding resist tearing apart or ballooning up at high speeds. Picture on page 2, clothing. Continuing with the text. Test yourself 1. A plastic impact-resistant face shield, A, is not necessary if you have a windshield. B, only protects your eyes. C, helps protect your whole face. D, does not protect your face as well as goggles. Answer, C, helps protect your whole face. Continuing with the text. Know your motorcycle. There are plenty of things on the highway that can cause you trouble. Your motorcycle should not be one of them. To make sure that your motorcycle won't let you down, start with the right motorcycle for you. Read the owner's manual. Be familiar with the motorcycle controls. Check the motorcycle before every ride. Keep it in safe riding condition between rides. Avoid add-ons and modifications that make your motorcycle harder to handle. The right motorcycle for you. First, make sure your motorcycle is right for you. It should fit you. Your feet should reach the ground while you are seated on the motorcycle, and the controls should be easy to operate. Smaller motorcycles are usually easier for beginners to operate. At a minimum, your street-legal motorcycle should have headlight, taillight, and brake light, front and rear brakes, turn signals, horn, two mirrors. Borrowing and lending. Borrowers and lenders of motorcycles beware. Crashes are more likely to occur among beginning riders, especially in the first months of riding. Riding an unfamiliar motorcycle adds to the problem. If you borrow a motorcycle, get familiar with it in a controlled area. And if you lend your motorcycle to friends, make sure they are licensed and know how to ride before allowing them out into traffic. No matter how experienced you may be, ride extra carefully on any motorcycle that's new or unfamiliar to you. More than half of all crashes involve riders with less than 5 months of experience on their motorcycle. Get familiar with the motorcycle controls. Make sure you are completely familiar with the motorcycle before you take it out on the street. Be sure to review the owner's manual. This is particularly important if you are riding a borrowed motorcycle. Picture on page 3, motorcycle controls. Reading clockwise from the top, light switch, high and low, choke, varies, turn signal switch, engine cutoff switch, electric starter button, ignition switch, varies, throttle, front brake lever, tachometer if equipped, rear brake pedal, kick starter if equipped, gear shift lever, fuel supply valve, if equipped, speedometer and odometer, clutch lever, horn button. Continuing with the text. If you are going to use an unfamiliar motorcycle, make all the checks you would on your own motorcycle. Find out where everything is, particularly the turn signals, horn, headlight switch, fuel supply valve, and engine cutoff switch. Find and operate these items without having to look for them. Know the controls. Work the throttle, clutch, brakes, and shifter a few times before you start riding. Ride very cautiously and be aware of surroundings. Accelerate gently, take turns more slowly, and leave extra room for stopping. Check your motorcycle. A motorcycle needs more frequent attention than a car. A minor technical failure on a car is seldom more than an inconvenience for the driver. The same failure on a motorcycle may result in a crash or having to leave your motorcycle parked on the side of the road. If anything's wrong with your motorcycle, you'll want to find out about it before you get in traffic. The primary source of information about how a motorcycle should be inspected and maintained is its owner's manual. Be sure to absorb all of its important information. A motorcycle will continue to ride like new if it is properly maintained and routine inspections become part of its maintenance cycle. A pre-ride inspection only takes a few minutes and should be done before every ride to prevent problems. It's quick and easy to check the critical components and should be as routine and automatic as checking the weather forecast before heading out for the day. A convenient reminder developed by MSF is T-CLOCS, service mark, T-Clocks. There is a T-Clocks tear-out sheet at the back of this manual for you to keep with you when you ride. A T-Clocks inspection should be conducted before every ride and includes checks of T, tires and wheels, check tire inflation pressure, tread wear and general condition of sidewalls and tread surface. Try the front and rear brake levers one at a time. Make sure each feels firm and holds the motorcycle when fully applied. C. Controls. Make sure the clutch and throttle operate smoothly. The throttle should snap back to fully closed when released. The clutch should feel tight and should operate smoothly. Try the horn. Make sure it works. L. Lights and electrics. Check both headlight and taillight. Test your switch to make sure both high and low beams work. Turn on both right and left-hand turn signals. Make sure all lights are working properly. Try both brakes and make sure each one turns on the brake light. Clean and adjust your mirrors before starting. It's difficult to ride with one hand while you try to adjust a mirror. Adjust each mirror so you can see the lane behind and as much as possible of the lane next to you. When properly adjusted, a mirror may show the edge of your arm or shoulder, but it's the road behind you and to the side that are the most important. O. Oil and other fluids. Check engine oil and transmission fluid levels. Check the brake hydraulic fluid and coolant level weekly. Be sure your fuel valve is open before starting out. With the fuel valve closed, your motorcycle may start with only the fuel that is still in the lines, but will stall once the lines are empty. Look underneath the motorcycle for signs of an oil or fuel leak. C. Chassis. Check the front suspension. Ensure there is no binding. The rear shocks and springs should move smoothly. Be sure the chain or belt is adjusted according to the manufacturer's specifications and that the sprockets are not worn or damaged. S. Stands. Ensure the side stand operates smoothly and that the spring holds it tightly in the up position. If equipped, the center stand should also be held firmly against the frame whenever the motorcycle is moving. Additionally, regular maintenance, such as tune-ups and oil changes, are as important for a motorcycle as routine checkups by your doctor are for you. Wear and tear is normal with use. Routine maintenance will help prevent costly breakdowns. The schedule for regular upkeep for motorcycle parts and controls is contained in your motorcycle's owner's manual. Know your responsibilities. Accident implies an unforeseen event that occurs without fault or negligence. In traffic, that is not the case. In fact, most people involved in a crash can claim some responsibility for what takes place. Consider a situation where someone decides to drive through an intersection on a yellow light turning red. Your light turns green. You pull into the intersection without checking for possible traffic. That is all it takes for the two of you to crash. It was the driver's responsibility to stop, and it was your responsibility to look before pulling out. Both of you are at fault. Someone else might be the first to start the chain of events leading to a crash, but it doesn't leave any of us free of responsibility. As a rider, you can't be sure that other operators will see you or yield the right of way. To lessen your chances of a crash occurring, be visible. Wear proper clothing, use your headlight, ride in the best lane position to see and be seen. Communicate your intentions. Use the proper signals, brake light, and lane position. Maintain an adequate space cushion when following, being followed, lane sharing, passing, and being passed. Search your path of travel 12 seconds ahead. Identify and separate hazards. Be prepared to act. Remain alert and know how to carry out proper crash avoidance skills. Blame doesn't matter when someone is injured in a crash. The ability to ride aware, make critical decisions, and carry them out separates responsible riders from the rest. Remember, it is up to you to keep from being the cause of, or an unprepared participant in, any crash. Test yourself, too. More than half of all crashes, A, occur at speeds greater than 35 mph, B, happen at night, C, are caused by worn tires, D, involve riders who have less than 5 months of experience on their motorcycles. Answer, D, involve riders who have less than 5 months of experience on their motorcycles. Continuing with the text. Ride within your abilities. This manual cannot teach you how to control direction, speed, or balance. That's something you can learn only through practice, preferably in a formal course of instruction like an MSF rider course. But control begins with knowing your abilities and riding within them, along with knowing and obeying the rules of the road. Basic vehicle control. Body position. To control a motorcycle well, posture. Position yourself comfortably so you are able to operate all the controls and can use your arms to steer the motorcycle rather than to hold yourself up. This helps you bond with your motorcycle and allows you to react quickly to hazards. Seat. Sit far enough forward so that arms are slightly bent when you hold the hand grips. Bending your arms permits you to press on the handlebars without having to stretch. Hands. Hold the hand grips firmly to keep your grip over rough surfaces. Start with your right wrist flat. This will help you keep from accidentally using too much throttle. Also, adjust the handlebars so your hands are even with or below your elbows. This permits you to use the proper muscles for precision steering. Picture on page 5, holding hand grips. Right, wrong. Continuing with the text. Knees. Keep your knees against the gas tank to help you keep your balance as the motorcycle turns. Feet. Keep your feet firmly on the footrest to maintain balance. Don't drag your feet. If your foot catches on something, you could be injured and it could affect your control of the motorcycle. Keep your feet near the controls so you can get to them fast if needed. Also, don't let your toes point downward. They may get caught between the road and the footrests. Shifting gears. There is more to shifting gears than simply getting the motorcycle to pick up speed smoothly. Learning to use the gears when downshifting, turning, or starting on hills is equally important for safe motorcycle operation. The gear shift lever is located in front of the left footrest and is operated by the left foot. To shift up to a higher gear, position your foot under the shift lever and lift. To downshift, press the shift lever down. The shift lever changes one gear each time it is lifted or pressed down. Whenever the lever is released, spring loading returns it to center, where the mechanism resets for the next shift up or down. A typical gear pattern is 1, N, 2, 3, 4, 5. The N is for neutral, which is selected by either a half lift from first gear or a half press from second gear. Most motorcycles have 5 gears, but some have 4 or 6 gears. Picture on page 6, shifting gears. Continuing with the text. As your motorcycle increases speed, you will need to shift up to a higher gear. Shift up well before the engine RPM reaches its maximum recommended speed. As a general rule, shift up soon enough to avoid over-revving the engine, but not so soon as to cause the engine to lug. When upshifting, use a 3-step process. 1. roll off the throttle as you squeeze the clutch lever. 2. Lift the shift lever firmly as far as it will go. 3. Smoothly ease out the clutch and adjust the throttle. Once the shift is completed, release the shift lever to permit it to reset for the next shift. You should shift down through the gears with the clutch as you slow or stop, and can also shift down when you need more power to accelerate. Make certain you are riding slowly enough when you shift into a lower gear. If not, the motorcycle will lurch and the rear wheel may skid. When riding downhill or shifting into first gear, you may need to use the brakes to slow enough before downshifting safely. When downshifting, use a 3-step process. 1. Roll off the throttle as you squeeze the clutch lever. 2. Press the shift lever down firmly. 3. Ease out the clutch lever as you roll on the throttle. Once the shift is completed, release the shift lever to permit it to reset for the next shift. Rolling on the throttle slightly while smoothly easing out the clutch can help the engine come up to speed more quickly and make the downshift smoother. Shifting to a lower gear causes an effect similar to using the brakes. This is known as engine braking. To use engine braking, shift down one gear at a time and ease out the clutch through the friction zone between each downshift. Keep the clutch in the friction zone until the engine speed stabilizes. Then ease out the lever fully until ready for the next downshift. Usually you shift gears one at a time, but it is possible to shift through more than one gear while the clutch is squeezed. Remain in first gear while you are stopped so that you can move out quickly if you need to. Work toward a smooth, even clutch release, especially when downshifting. It is best to change gears before entering a turn. However, sometimes shifting while in the turn is necessary. If so, remember to do so smoothly. A sudden change in power to the rear wheel can cause a skid. Braking. Improper braking technique remains a significant contributing factor in many motorcycle crashes. Your motorcycle has 2 brake controls, one for the front wheel and one for the rear wheel. Always use both brakes every time you slow or stop. The front brake is more powerful and can provide at least 70% of your total stopping power. The front brake is safe to use if you use it properly. Maximum straight-line braking is accomplished by fully applying both front and rear brakes without locking either wheel. To do this, squeeze the front brake smoothly, firmly, and with progressively more force. Do not grab the brake lever or use abrupt pressure. As the motorcycle's weight transfers forward, more traction becomes available at the front wheel, so the front brake can be applied harder after braking begins. Keep your knees against the tank and your eyes up, looking well ahead. This helps you stop the motorcycle in a straight line. Apply light to lighter pressure to the rear brake pedal to prevent a rear wheel skid. As weight transfers forward, less traction is available at the rear. Use less rear brake pressure. Using both brakes for even normal stops will permit you to develop the proper habit or skill of using both brakes properly in an emergency. Squeeze the front brake and press down on the rear. Grabbing at the front brake or jamming down on the rear can cause the brakes to lock, resulting in control problems. Braking in a corner. Anytime a motorcycle is leaned over, the amount of traction available for braking is reduced. The greater the lean angle, the more the possibility of the tires losing traction. To stop as quickly and as safely as possible on a curve, and depending on road and traffic conditions, try to get the motorcycle as perpendicular to the road as possible, then brake. If conditions do not allow, brake smoothly and gradually, but do not apply as much braking force as you would if the motorcycle were straight up. As you slow, you can reduce your lean angle, and as more traction becomes available for braking, you can more firmly apply the brakes, so that by the time the motorcycle is stopped, the motorcycle is straight up and the handlebars are squared. Linked and integrated braking systems. Some motorcycles have linked braking, which connects the front and rear brakes on the motorcycle and applies braking pressure to both brakes when either the front lever or rear pedal is applied. An integrated braking system is a variation of the linked system in which partial front braking is applied whenever the rear brake is activated. Consult your owner's manual for a detailed explanation on the operation and effective use of these systems. Anti-lock braking systems, ABS. ABS is designed to prevent wheel lockup and avoid skids when stopping in straight-line, panic situations. ABS operates when maximum pressure on both the front and rear brake controls is applied. If electronic sensors detect the possibility of a wheel lock, brake hydraulic pressure is released then reapplied to maintain maximum braking effectiveness. The system is capable of releasing and reapplying pressure more than 15 times per second. Turning. Approach turns and curves with caution. Riders often try to take curves or turns too fast. When they can't hold the turn, they end up crossing into another lane of traffic or going off the road. Or they overreact and brake too hard, causing a skid and loss of control. Use four steps for better control. Slow. Reduce speed before the turn by closing the throttle and, if necessary, applying both brakes. Look. Look through the turn to where you want to go. Turn just your head, not your shoulders, and keep your eyes level with the horizon. Press. To turn, the motorcycle must lean. To lean the motorcycle, press on the hand grip in the direction of the turn. Press left hand grip, lean left, go left. Press right hand grip, lean right, go right. The higher the speed in a turn, or the sharper the turn, the greater the lean angle needs to be. Roll. Roll on the throttle to maintain or slightly increase speed. This helps stabilize the motorcycle. In normal turns, the rider and the motorcycle should lean together at the same angle. In slow, tight turns, counterbalance by leaning the motorcycle only and keeping your body straight. Pictures on page 7. Normal turns. Slow, tight turns. Continuing with the text. Test yourself 3. When riding, you should A. turn your head and shoulders to look through turns. B. keep your arms straight. C. keep your knees away from the gas tank. D. turn just your head and eyes to look where you are going. Answer. D. Turn just your head and eyes to look where you are going. Continuing with the text. Keeping your distance. The best protection you can have is distance, a cushion of space separating yourself from other vehicles on the roadway. This will provide you with a clear view of emerging traffic situations so that if someone else makes a mistake, you will have more time to respond, more space to maneuver, including an escape route if necessary. Lane positions. Successful motorcyclists know that they are safer when clearly seen. In some ways, the size of the motorcycle can work to your advantage. Each traffic lane gives a motorcycle 3 paths of travel, as indicated in the illustration. Your lane position should help you increase your ability to see and be seen, avoid others' blind spots, avoid surface hazards, protect your lane from other drivers, communicate your intentions, avoid wind blast from other vehicles, provide an escape route, set up for turns. Picture on page 8, lane positions. Continuing with the text. Many motorcyclists consider the left third of the lane, the left tire track of automobiles, to be their default lane position. You should then consider varying your lane position as conditions warrant, keeping in mind that no portion of the lane need be avoided, including the center. You should position yourself in the portion of the lane where you are most likely to be seen and you can maintain a space cushion around you. Change position as traffic situations change. Ride in path 2 or 3 if vehicles and other potential problems are on your left only. Remain in path 1 or 2 if hazards are on your right only. If vehicles are being operated on both sides of you, the center of the lane, path 2, is usually your best option. Remember, the center third of the lane is the place where debris and oil drippings from cars collect and where hazards such as manhole covers are located. Unless the road is wet, the average center strip permits adequate traction to ride on safely. You can operate to the left or right of the grease strip and still be within the center third of the traffic lane. Avoid riding on big buildups of oil and grease, usually found at busy intersections or toll booths. Experienced riders rely on their own best judgment and instincts. One absolute, however, is to avoid riding in another vehicle's blind spot. Following another vehicle. Following too closely is a factor in crashes involving motorcyclists. In traffic, motorcycles need as much distance to stop as cars. Normally, a minimum of 3 seconds distance should be maintained behind the vehicle ahead. Picture on page 8, following. Continuing with the text. To gauge your following distance, pick out a marker, such as a pavement marking or lamppost, on or near the road ahead. When the rear bumper of the vehicle ahead passes the marker, count off the seconds, 1001, 1002, 1003. If you reach the marker before you reach 3, you are following too closely. A 3-second following distance leaves a minimum amount of space to stop or swerve if the driver ahead stops suddenly. It also permits a better view of potholes and other hazards in the road. A larger cushion of space is needed if your motorcycle will take longer than normal to stop. If the pavement is slippery, or if you cannot see through the vehicle ahead, or if traffic is heavy and someone may squeeze in front of you, open a 4-second or more following distance. Keep well behind the vehicle ahead even when you are stopped. This will make it easier to get out of the way if someone bears down on you from behind. It will also give you a cushion of space if the vehicle ahead starts to back up for some reason. When behind a car, ride where the driver can see you in the rearview mirror. Riding in the center portion of the lane should put your image in the middle of the rearview mirror, where a driver is most likely to see you. Riding at the far side of a lane may permit a driver to see you in a side view mirror. But remember that most drivers don't look at their side view mirrors nearly as often as they check the rear view mirror. If the traffic situation allows, the center portion of the lane is usually the best place for you to be seen by the drivers ahead and to prevent lane sharing by others. Being followed. Speeding up to lose someone following too closely only ends up with someone tailgating you at a higher speed. A better way to handle tailgaters is to get them in front of you. When someone is following too closely, change lanes and let them pass. If you can't do this, slow down and open up extra space ahead of you to allow room for both you and the tailgater to stop. This will also encourage them to pass. If they don't pass, you will have given yourself and the tailgater more time and space to react in case an emergency does develop ahead. Passing and being passed. Passing and being passed by another vehicle is not much different than with a car. However, visibility is more critical. Be sure other drivers see you and that you see potential hazards. Passing. 1. Ride in the left portion of the lane at a safe following distance to increase your line of sight and make you more visible. Signal and check for oncoming traffic. Use your mirrors and turn your head to look for traffic behind. 2. When safe, move into the left lane and accelerate. Select a lane position that doesn't crowd the car and provide space to avoid hazards in your lane. 3. Ride through the blind spot as quickly as possible. 4. Signal again and complete mirror and head checks before returning to your original lane and then cancel the signal. Remember, passes must be completed within posted speed limits and only where permitted. Know your signs and road markings. Picture on page 9. Passing. Continuing with the text. Being passed. When you are being passed from behind, stay in the center portion of your lane. Riding close to the passing vehicle could put you in a hazardous situation. Avoid being hit by the other vehicle. A slight mistake by you or the passing driver could cause a sideswipe. Extended mirrors. Some drivers forget that their mirrors hang out farther than their fenders. Objects thrown from windows. Even if the driver knows you're there, a passenger may not see you and might toss something on you or the road ahead of you. Blasts of wind from larger vehicles. They can affect your control. You have more room for error if you are in the middle portion when hit by this blast than if you are on either side of the lane. Do not move into the portion of the lane farthest from the passing vehicle. It might invite the other driver to cut back into your lane too early. Picture on page 10, being passed. Continuing with the text. Lane sharing. Cars and motorcycles need a full lane to operate safely. Lane sharing is usually prohibited. Riding between rows of stopped or moving cars in the same lane can leave you vulnerable to the unexpected. A hand could come out of a window, a door could open, a car could turn suddenly. Discourage lane sharing by others. Keep a center portion position whenever drivers might be tempted to squeeze by you. Drivers are most tempted to do this in heavy, bumper-to-bumper traffic, when they want to pass you, when you are preparing to turn at an intersection, when you are moving into an exit lane or leaving a highway. Test yourself for. Usually a good way to handle tailgaters is to A. Change lanes and let them pass. B. Use your horn and make obscene gestures. C. Speed up to put distance between you and the tailgater. D. Ignore them. Answer: A. Change lanes and let them pass. Continuing with the text. Merging cars. Drivers on an entrance ramp may not see you on the highway. Give them plenty of room. Change to another lane if one is open. If there is no room for a lane change, adjust speed to open up space for the merging driver. Picture on page 10. Merging. Continuing with the text. Cars alongside. Do not ride next to cars or trucks in other lanes if you do not have to. You might be in the blind spot of a car in the next lane, which could switch into your lane without warning. Cars in the next lane also block your escape if you come upon danger in your own lane. Speed up or drop back to find a place clear of traffic on both sides. Picture on page 10. Blind spot. Continuing with the text. SEEC. Good, experienced riders are always aware of what is going on around them. They reduce their risk by using MSF's three-step C strategy: search, evaluate, execute. C will help you assess what is going on in traffic so you can plan and implement the safest course of action as traffic situations change. Let's look at each of these steps. Search. How assertively you search and how much time and space you have can eliminate or minimize risk. As you search, focus on finding potential escape routes, especially in or around intersections, shopping areas, and school and construction zones. Picture on page 11. Rider radar. Continuing with the text. One way to search is to use your rider radar to aggressively scan the environment ahead of you, to the sides, and behind you to avoid potential hazards even before they arise. There are three lead times experienced riders consider. First, be alert and scan for hazards that are about 2 seconds ahead of you or within your following distance. Scanning your 4-second immediate path can allow you time for a quick response if something should go wrong. Anything that is within 4 seconds of your path is considered immediate because 4 seconds is considered enough time and space to swerve and/or brake for fixed hazards or for someone or something entering your path of travel. Finally, experienced riders search for hazards that are further out, looking ahead to an area it would take about 12 seconds to reach. This provides time to prepare for a situation before it becomes immediate. Using the C strategy will help you to search for a variety of factors, such as oncoming traffic that may turn left in front of you, traffic coming from the left and from the right, traffic approaching from behind, hazardous road conditions that require you to be alert, especially in areas with limited visibility. Visually busy surroundings could hide you and your motorcycle from others. Evaluate. Evaluate means to think about how hazards can interact to create risks for you. Anticipate potential problems and have a plan to reduce risks, particularly when faced with road and surface characteristics such as potholes, guardrails, bridges, telephone poles, and trees that won't move into your path but may influence your riding strategy. Traffic control devices, including traffic signals, warning signs, and pavement markings, which will require you to carefully evaluate circumstances ahead. Vehicles and other traffic that may move into your path and increase the likelihood of a crash. Think about your time and space requirements in order to maintain a margin of safety and give yourself time to react if an emergency arises. Test yourself 5. To reduce your reaction time, you should A. ride slower than the speed limit. B. cover the clutch and the brakes. C. shift into neutral when slowing. D. pull in the clutch when turning. Answer, B. cover the clutch and the brakes. Continuing with the text. Execute. Finally, execute your decision. To create more space and minimize harm from any hazard, communicate your presence with lights and/or horn. Adjust your speed by accelerating, stopping, or slowing. Adjust your position and/or direction by swerving, changing lanes, or moving to another position within your lane. Apply the old adage, one step at a time, to handle 2 or more hazards. Adjust speed to permit 2 hazards to separate, then deal with them 1 at a time as single hazards. Decision-making becomes more complex with 3 or more hazards. Evaluate the consequences of each and give equal distance to the hazards. In potential high-risk areas such as intersections, shopping areas, and school and construction zones, cover the clutch and both brakes to reduce the time you need to react.